The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
Hello, welcome to a very exciting LA episode of Hell. I kind of manifested this. I can't believe she's in the studio with me. Oh, we have like a podcast phenomenon. We have a Midwest girly angel baby pussy popping queen.
God,
I just came up with that. We're with Morgan Apsher, who is basically has the sickest story of quarantine. And I'm so excited to have you here. Morgan, welcome to Hell.
Thank you for having me. I'm ready.
This is also like, this is a mental health podcast where and like comedy, but I talk to people about their demons, and I feel like your podcast came from almost a similar place.
Oh my God,
but
I
want to get started. You're from Minnesota?
Minnesota.
I went to school in Wisconsin.
Do
we have beef?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, should we just stop now?
The Badgers, I gotta
go.
Go
Badgers! I do have to say, I'm gonna get hate for this, but Minnesota people had like good personalities.
Oh yeah, we're the best.
They're fun. But what do you think of the whole Minnesota nice concept?
It's Minnesota nice, but sneaky passive aggressive. Like, there's niceness for sure. Like, you get a flat tire, someone will help you. You need your driveway shoveled. Sure, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I got a snowblower even.
But afterwards, you're like, the car is ugly. What was that accent?
Like, people don't know how to be forward, which is what I appreciate so much about like East Coasters. You're just like, you're forward.
Yeah.
There's no bullshit.
Yeah.
You're straight to the point. And Minnesota people, we just beat around the bush. We don't know how.
I definitely had like some cultural issues where I couldn't tell how people felt. And also people thought I was exotic because I'm half Italian. But because every girl is so blonde and cute in the Midwest. And I'm mass stereotyping right now. But like, yeah, like you are Midwest queen. You're Midwest royalty. You're Midwest belle, someone would say.
No, I'm like just the most normal person. I am like horrifically normal.
Would you call yourself basic?
I mean, I'm weird. I think I'm too weird to be basic. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm just normal. Mm-hmm. It's this whole thing, the podcast, everything blowing up, TikTok. Like, I'm going to a TikTok party tonight. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Dude.
I don't belong here.
Yeah, I was doing some research on you coming in, just creeping on you, but we call it research.
Yeah.
And you were kind of like, I was so uncomfortable when I heard that I even had a fan. Because you're like, I'm so not weird. Someone that like...
No.
But it's, I think we're living in such a cool time where anyone could have a voice.
Yeah.
And I really love what you've done with your voice.
Thank you.
Did you go to University of Minnesota?
I did. Yeah, I went there for undergrad and then came out to LA originally just after a shitty breakup. And it was like a mental health thing. And then moved back to Minnesota and then came back to LA for grad school.
So you had an affinity for LA already.
Yeah, my dad is from here, born, bred, raised, and so I was always kind of a commuter kid.
Okay, because I was envisioning like you just like in a snowmobile in the middle of Minnesota and like suddenly just being thrown into like a TikTok party.
I mean, it does feel like that. Like, I've been in LA for a couple of years, but I mean, I was going to grad school. I didn't really do much. I've had experiences. Like, I had a friend that played hockey for the Kings, so, you know, we would go out with them.
Okay, cool.
Minnesota guys.
That is literally the most Minnesota story.
Because
yeah, Wisconsin too. It was like the hockey guys, all I got was they snuck me into the KK a couple times, but through the kitchen. But that was about it. So my friend was fucking one of them.
Oh yeah. You gotta take the perks.
Hockey guys are so fun, but they are so dangerous.
Psychotic.
Oh my God.
The stuff I saw was just I wanna hit my head against the wall.
My mom went to Cornell and the first thing she said to me when I went to Wisconsin was, stay away from the hockey guys. They're older than everyone. They have no teeth and they will give you an STD. And the bitch was right.
It checks out.
I should have listened to that bitch. That bitch was right.
Your mom knew. I didn't get any STDs from any of them, but
they had HPV vaccine now, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God. Gardasil.
Gardasil. Shout out to Gardasil. Swipe up. I also, as an avid podcaster, I have a lot of people reach out to me and be like, I have a podcast idea. And I also am very a proponent of people starting podcasts.
Yeah.
But most of the successful podcasts that you look at are people who already are established some way in their career, mm-hmm. or already have a following, who are like, here is the next thing. Like, you go on a reality show, you get a podcast. You know, are an expert in some way that people already follow you. Here's my podcast. How the fuck did you blow up? And I mean this in a purely like curious entrepreneurial standpoint, because I'm fascinated with virality and stuff like that.
I think it was the perfect storm of everything. I don't think, like, now I think there's more Reddit content popping up, but when, like, I didn't know there was any Reddit podcast at all before me. And I think there was like one YouTube channel that I discovered after. Mm-hmm. But I think it was the perfect storm of, like, no one was doing Reddit yet. And I just started putting it on TikTok. And from the first video, the very first one went viral.
Shut. Oh my God. I have chills. I literally have chills right now.
So I don't even know what I did. And I just kept doing it. And like, even my like, I have like this little TikTok person, Simon, and well, used to. He abandoned me now. But I had Simon. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, your videos are kind of an anomaly. Like, you're longer than any content I've ever seen and still don't lose people. So, you know, I don't really have any advice to give you. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing though. Like, I have no idea. I'm just posting.
I kind of love that you weren't inspired by anything.
No, just depression.
Yes, we love a depressed girly.
That's depression.
So, because also COVID, everyone was on the screens.
Yeah, that was all you had.
And this is the thing about Reddit, because I've never talked about Reddit on my pod, even though like Reddit is like, you feel it all the time. And I have like a nerdy, you know, 27-year-old brother who has been on Reddit for a while, and every now and then he'll be like, oh, your tweet's on Reddit. And I'm like, oh, now you respect me? Thanks. But what was your Reddit experience before the pod? What was your journey?
So I first discovered it through Twitter, mm-hmm. which is like, Reddit is just like, it's Twitter and Reddit, there's back and forth, like stealing each other's content. So I first discovered it on Twitter and then just started down the rabbit hole of like, oh, what's Am I the Asshole? What's Dead Bedrooms? I'm super alone. Like, there's so many different subreddits. So I just started just diving.
What is the demo? Is it mostly male dominated, or you can find your like female spaces, or is AMA like, not, is it both?
I feel like it's everything. There's like certain subs that you go to, like Just No Mother-in-Law, mm-hmm. which is very like narcissistic moms and mother-in-laws, just crazy toxic dynamic there. Yeah. I think that one's mostly women.
Yeah.
Am I the Asshole? Pretty balanced, mostly men trying to like come and get their reassurance that they don't suck when they clearly do. they don't find it there usually.
But it's great. Like, for example, when I do comedy, I love having guys and girls in the audience.
Yeah.
Because there's a tension where, like, you can make fun of the guys and the girls laugh, but then you call out the girls and the guys laugh, and then the guys feel like they're learning about the female locker room while also getting called out. It's just, like, a beautiful dynamic, and I feel like that's what your pod...
It is. I've literally had people reach out recently, and they're like... a couple people have, like, you've saved my marriage, which I'm like...
We're obsessed.
I don't know about
that.
Put
it in the folder.
But really, yeah, I do have a folder going. THT kind words, because a lot of shit makes me cry. But like, a lot of people are like, I started listening to this with my partner, and it's like therapy for us. It's like couples therapy. We're learning so much about each other and the way we think, how we would handle situations. I have caused some breakups, but it needed to be done.
My only advice to people when they DM me is, I'm like, why are you asking? You know you should break up with him. People DM me for me to tell them to break up with their mans, and I'll be that hero. I love a breakup moment.
But sometimes they don't listen. Like, there's the most toxic messages I've replied to, because I'm like, please get out.
Yeah.
Like, please get out. And they're like, I just couldn't. He said he would change. I'm like,
it's an addiction. It's like, people will not stop unless like they really want to.
Well, those toxic relationships and abusive relationships, like, I think I saw a stat yesterday where it's like, it takes 7 attempts to leave an abusive relationship. And it's like, and then we ask these people, well, why didn't you leave sooner? And it's like, that's just our brains. And like, the way we are, like, this, that those stupid neurotransmitters just tricking us to want to stay.
I do forget, because you're very beautiful, which is just a stereotype that women can't be beautiful and smart, but like, you are very, 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 very smart. you were studying to be an occupational therapist.
Yeah, I actually graduated.
You graduated?
Yeah.
What is an occupational therapist?
So everyone's like, no, I don't need a job. I have a job, you dumb bitch. I'm like, no. So there's so many different areas with OT that you can work in. I think the most common one we're known for is like pediatrics. Mm-hmm. So working with kids on the spectrum, Down syndrome, any motor disabilities, like anything, mm-hmm. kiddos. Mm-hmm. The other big bread and butter area of it is like acute care or acute rehab. So working with stroke survivors, people with ALS, all sorts of things.
What sparked your interest in this?
A sorority sister. To be honest, I was working at Lululemon, had no idea what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and I knew I wanted to do medical stuff, but I worked as a medical scribe in the ER, and I saw like the most horrific like 4-year-old accident of my life, and I realized, I was like, okay, that's just too much responsibility. I don't want to go to PA school anymore. Mm-hmm. So a sorority sister ran into me, and she was like, you should check out OT. And I did, and I was like, oh, this seems like it'll be good, and it makes good money, and I want to help people, and so let's go for it. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really know what OT was when I applied to grad
school. In your early 20s, you don't fucking know. Your job is to, like, it's literally dating jobs.
Yeah.
Where you like, he looks hot, but I don't know what it's like to be with him 3 months in when our life is complicated. Yeah.
Well, and I have, like, I have commitment issues. I love quitting jobs. Like, I love jumping around. Like,
same.
The shit I've done, like, I was a nanny. I worked at Lululemon. I was a flight attendant. I was an OT. Now I have a podcast. I'm like, I've just done so much shit, and I was like, now I'm like, okay, I kind of want to quit podcasting. Like, what else can I do? Like,
you know what?
You're so weird.
You're saying you're a quitter, but what I hear is you're a doer. As in, when you want to do something, you just do it.
And that's in positive reframing.
Yeah, and that was reparenting. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I did hear a quote recently that like the only difference between certain successful people and not successful people, or some people don't even want to be, like, their version of success is different, but
yeah.
People who are successful do it. People who don't will think of an idea and hold it forever, mm-hmm. and be like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but they like are more comfortable just holding the idea. Where like it's like a corny Michael Jordan quote, but like, he missed tons of game-winning shots, but you don't remember that.
No.
You remember the ones that he won. Now, it sounds like you got this idea in COVID.
Yeah.
When that idea hit you, what was the emotional, physical feeling?
So I sat on this idea for 10 months. I talked a lot about it. And I was just so scared.
What was your fear?
I wasn't a content creator. I was an OT. And I had just finished my graduate program. And I couldn't get a job in OT even. And I'm like, okay, if I can't even get a job in OT, something I just went to 3 years of school for, what business do I have even trying something else? I was like, trying to get a job was my full-time job. Like, it was so much.
And you were overqualified for the jobs you were probably applying for, or at least qualified.
Yeah.
And now you're like, why would I do something that I'm so underqualified for?
It was so brutal. I mean, I went the extra, like, step in my degree. I got my doctorate. Like, I didn't even just do the master's for OT. I got my doctorate. I had an extra, like, internship, a doctoral thesis at UCLA. Like, I was grinding.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. Oh. Absolutely loved it. I actually created my own like capstone and did addressing mental health and psychosocial needs in acute care, which is never addressed ever. So that was that.
I do have to say, people will see people blow up and be successful and just be like, why did that happen to her? But like, there's so much, all that stuff led to this success. And it might seem like it was like, why'd I do that stuff? But like, it all guided, even the problem solving that you did in graduate school has probably helped you right now.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this is so exciting for me. I'm sorry. I really love seeing things like come to fruition.
Yeah.
So your boyfriend gives you a little nudge.
Yeah, buys me all the equipment, like gifts.
But we are decentering men from our life. We didn't need him. We did not need him.
He didn't need him, but he is a unicorn, like absolute unicorn. He still processes all my audio because he's in music, taught me how to edit. So like, he was a unicorn. He's like Oz behind the curtain a little bit.
I'm obsessed
with
that.
My brain, but like kind of started with the grunt work on his side.
So he gave you some confidence to be like, oh, I have like someone who knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. It would not have been possible without that. And like, I tell myself that though, but I'm like, I also had a brother that started a podcast before me. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I probably would have found a way, mm-hmm. but the road would have been that much harder.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful for him. But yeah, like, sat on it 10 months. He gifted me the equipment. And then February 2021, posted the first episode. And then had my best friend, who was supposed to be the co-host, quit. And so it shaped up to be something even totally different than what it was.
Yeah. Why'd she quit?
Internet is a scary place.
Oh, I feel it. I feel her.
It sucks out there sometimes.
Do you still talk to her?
Yeah. She's my best friend. She continued to be on the show.
Okay.
I think it was just like the pressure and like the vulnerability of like putting yourself out there.
Well, also, I almost feel like you're like a Love Island contestant where most people with podcasts, like either they already were famous and the podcast just continues it and you don't feel any different once your pod starts.
Yeah.
Or it's like a slow, over 5 years, it starts to grow. And I'm telling you that because that's like the growth of podcasts.
Oh my God.
Like really, or like you finally get 5,000 listens 4 years in, where like she went from nothing to like everyone knowing her thoughts.
Yeah, it's so scary. And it doesn't matter, like I saw this quote recently where it's like, stop explaining yourself to people that are determined to not understanding you. And that is like something like we were shocked into, where it's like, no matter how we say or how we clarify or how much nuance we give a topic we're talking about, people are still going to interpret it through their triggers.
They're gonna hear it through their lens of their own life experiences. Yeah. That you can't alter.
No, I could literally say like, I had a bad experience with a guy that played hockey once, and people interpret it as, you think all guys that play hockey are pieces of shit and shouldn't exist on this planet and we should eradicate them? And I'm like, I just said one guy was shitty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From your own experience,
like literally I prefaced,
but now,
it
because you have such like a large listener base, it's like your words are powerful, but also like that's so beautiful that someone else might be having a bad experience with a hockey guy and be like, oh, I'm not alone, like maybe it's not me all the time.
No.
And you know what, there are good hockey guys out there, I just haven't met them. So
same. I strongly
believe
that
two people
that
who went to college in the Midwest,
some of them were my best friends and I still think they suck at people.
Absolutely. I love a lot of them. Anyway, so before we get canceled by the hockey community, I have to talk about Reddit in terms of, because it's anonymous, and there's anonymity, mm-hmm. It lets people open up about probably really vulnerable things.
Yeah.
But it also allows people to be hateful without having to have any accountability.
Yeah.
How do you navigate working on a podcast based off of that landscape?
It's really hard. So I think I try to take things at face value, and like a lot of guests have a hard time doing that. Like I have a lot of guests that will come on and they're like, this isn't real, like this is a troll, and I'm like, you just need to take it at face value. Like, what is OP telling you? And so you take everything you hear in life with a grain of salt, but I try to do my best to like take it for what it is. And same with the comments, like if there's a troll comment or someone just like they miss the mark, mm-hmm. I ignore it. Like I don't have to read every comment. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten criticism for that, and I'm like,
I want you to read every comment?
They're like, you can't skip the comments you don't like. I'm like, I sure fucking can. It's my show.
Oh, I don't touch comments.
Like,
I don't go near comments.
No.
I'm lying. I do. But like, I try not to.
I will read the initial YouTube comments and then I tune
Ooh,
out.
As in the comedy world, the rule is you can't look at YouTube comments.
YouTube is the worst?
That's the rule. Because you get blasted. Like, you'll do a 5-minute set that's like been watered down for, you know, television.
Yeah.
And then everyone from every random place is judging you.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to be like, this isn't funny. So that's the comedy world, what people say.
You have the hardest world. Like, Reddit is easy compared to your world.
Oh, well, I was about to say, the hardest world I've ever been in was reality TV. And I'm not allowed to look at reality TV Reddits. Like,
oh God.
Apparently, like, rules were made in reality TV Reddits because people were being so mean to me, where they're like, you can't make up people's mental health issues.
Oh my God.
This is all just what like I was yeah. told like a year ago, because reality TV Reddits are,
I mean, I just learned about snark Reddit pages like recently, and I've been on Reddit for years, and I just learned about snark Reddit because of another TikToker that had like mm-hmm. old tweets come up. And people were like, oh, on her snark page, like this and that. And I was like, what the fuck is a snark page?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And like even Teffy came on and was like, there's a Jesse James Decker snark page that I love. And I'm just like, I can't imagine hating someone so much that you invest your life and time into like going out of your way to tear them down.
I didn't understand what snark was because I don't think, I guess they're like saying that they're being funny, where I don't consider it funny to be
you're
mean.
You're just a bully.
You're just being mean, you're but you're covering it. Like, but we're being so entertaining. And I'm like, that is just the worst fucking energy. And as someone who's like dealt with stuff like that, I now have so much empathy for these like figures that people don't know. Mm-hmm. And they love the group mentality of jumping on it. And it's like, I think actually, early on, someone was like, you can get your videos popular by talking shit on someone.
It's easy.
That is like the lowest hanging fruit. And honestly, like, that shit will eat you alive from the inside out.
Misery loves company. What are you gaining by that?
Yeah.
You're like feeling a little better about yourself?
That's the Reddit I had heard about.
Yeah.
The two Reddits I heard about is Snark Reddit, where they just like tear, mostly women tearing other women down. And then my brother's Reddit, which is talking about video games and crypto. So then I'm like, where does Morgan, because I don't see you on the snark side.
I'm oddly on Coin Reddit. I like Coin Reddit.
Is that like Bitcoin?
No, like ancient coins. So I'm oddly over there, and I'm in the craft pages.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, but mostly like relationship Reddit.
I didn't even know this was a thing. What I do know is when your relationship is going badly is when you start Googling, like, isn't normal if? Mm-hmm. And, like, the Quora stuff will come up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then that's when you know you're done.
It's game over.
When you're on the Reddit and someone's like, yeah, my boyfriend did that to me, and I have a restraining order, da-da-da-da. And you're like, oh, how did I get here?
I mean, some of these people are still, like, I'm like, couples therapy, and you reestablish that trust, and there's hope. So...
You know what? I do like that. I do like that. Because a lot of it is not, no one has a perfect relationship because life isn't perfect and you're going to have so many ups and downs. But it's finding someone who like wants to survive it with you and wants to be your teammate and have healthy conversations. Be good at fighting with you.
Yeah.
How'd you meet your mans?
Hinge. Good old fashioned Hinge.
I love it.
Yeah. It was crazy. I didn't realize he was interested in me until like the third date when he like put his hand on my leg at a movie, because he's also from Minnesota, but we met out in LA on Hinge. Aww. And he pulled the whole like, I'm from Minnesota, moved out here from New York recently, just trying to make some friends. And I didn't reply, and he's like, hey, sorry, last ditch effort. And I was like, okay, fine. So we arranged for drinks out here. I got too blacked out at a bachelorette party, hungover for 3 days, flaked on him, and was going to Minnesota. And he was like, wait, I'm going to Minnesota too for like the state fair, like super Midwest shit.
I know about the state fair.
Super Midwest.
The state fair is lit.
Iconic. It's actually iconic.
It's so lit. The food. you'll eat your body weight in fried foods, but it's lit.
Oh my God. But you burn it off walking. So
is that what you tell yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I walked 13 miles at the state fair last year.
So you're right. You're right.
Yeah. And then like he was nuts. He would get there at 6 a.m. and like go until midnight, do an all dayer. Like, take naps and, like, line in Kugel chairs.
It's your guys? It's Midwest Coachella.
It literally is.
Wait, what's some crazy shit you eat there?
There's alligator on a stick.
Just full alligator.
There's, like, deep-fried Oreos, which are incredible. Yep. I like the classics, though. I'm, like, roasted corn on a cob. Mm. All about that. But, yeah, so we had our first date in Minnesota at, like, my favorite college bar, Cowboy Jack's. Yeah. And the rest was history.
I do love that story for you, and we're obviously not relationship experts, but you have put in hours and hours on Reddit, and I talk shit for a living. So, but I
well qualified because
I had the same kind of thing with my dude, where I feel like it's so corny, but like it's easy early on.
Yeah, it was. I think I was my biggest obstacle. Like as far as guys go, he was like the nicest, the most like comfortable with himself, the biggest advocate for pushing against toxic masculinity. Like, he is truly a unicorn.
We love a feminist king.
I know, but I was, like, I was in my own head so much. Like, I was my biggest roadblock in, like, confirming the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I told him no when he asked me to be his girlfriend the first time.
I'm obsessed with a hard-to-get queen.
Yeah, I just pushed back. I was like, no. Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound controversial, but I would say the guy knows first. Typically.
He left the first date at Cowboy Jack's, got in the car, and told his friend to print the wedding invites. He knew immediately.
I don't want to like project onto you, but my husband, like second week, was like, "I'm gonna marry you," and I was so scared. I literally was like, "This man, he's gonna ruin my life." What is the difference between love bombing and him being really into you? I don't fucking know, because
lines are real blurry sometimes.
Real fucking blurry, especially when you love the tension.
Yeah, that would be extra complicated.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I want to know the people who listen, how many is it guys and girls, do you think?
Or mostly generally? The gals, but I think there's a lot of sneaky guys who like listen with their partners.
Yes, I love that.
But I think I'm at like a 70-30 split these days. But it used to be like, at one point it was like 91 girls.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. And I love the fact that it's not just like, this is for the girls. It's like, this is about life and whoever it connects to.
Yeah.
How do you think you've changed from the Morgan who was in quarantine to the Morgan sitting with me now?
I don't think much, to be honest. I think maybe a little happier, but I am struggling with some burnout. Mm-hmm. But I think I've become more open to things, and like I'm trying to have like a yes girl moment where I say yes to more things, and I'm super introverted and shy. So I think
But you're also battling burnout.
Yeah. So I'm trying to like come out of my bubble by like handing off the stuff that's burning me out and saying yes to more opportunities that like I usually wouldn't.
True.
I need to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
I need to delegate. Like that's my weakness. I'm kind of a control freak. Like every episode of Two Hot Takes like I've edited.
Yeah.
Even episodes I've passed off to other people, I re-edit.
You're giving me Alex Cooper's work ethic.
Yeah.
Where she to this day edits every episode, but like to the point that I yelled at her and I'm like, this 6 extra hours of editing is not like changing it, but also who am I to tell her that? Because this is her method that works.
And it's crazy, and it's like, it probably wouldn't be that different if I passed it off, but it's almost the reassurance that like I can still control the narrative that gets put out there. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure like anyone that comes on, like I don't want them to have to make PR moves after them coming on my episode, whether that's my friends or a guest. Like I want it to be fun for everyone involved, mm-hmm. including myself. So it's like, even if like you're, like say you came on tomorrow and you're very hate men, I hate the world, blah, 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 I'm still going to protect you a little bit and I'm going to cut some shit out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you also don't want negative energy surrounding it.
I don't.
It's literally like Reddit. What kind of attention do you want?
Yeah.
Helping people or breaking people?
Exactly. And so I love editing, and I feel like I have such a lens after doing this and realizing what people are triggered by and what they're sensitive to, that I maybe over edit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, we're still being ourselves, but
one hot soundbite is not going to make or break an episode.
That is my, yes, exactly.
That is the opposite of reality TV editing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I had a friend recently, they're like, you should go on like The Circle. And I'm like, I think I would rather die. Like I have wanted to be on reality TV, but I'm like, no, I can't.
I mean, no, do your...
I think I'm just like, it's that little curiosity.
Do reality TV if you're the executive producer, Kardashian style.
Yeah.
You and your boy living your life, whatever, your pocket blown up. Like, and you... Because think about it, when you said you control your narrative, think of your narrative being controlled by either your enemies talking about you in confessionals.
I would die.
Or being controlled by people who need ratings.
Yeah.
And ratings come from snark.
Yeah.
So they have to No, I love it. Production. I started as like a comedy video producer, so I was always obsessed with like what makes good content, and that's why I can see within your two hot takes like how passionate you are in the production process, which I think is like so fucking awesome.
I put so, like, I don't think people realize the work that goes in on the back end of my thing. They're like, oh, you just find Reddit stories. I'm like, but I don't just pick like the top stories that week. Like, I sit on stories for months, like sometimes, like now a year, I've sat on a story that I think is perfect for a guest and it sits in that folder. Like, I go overboard on curating the content.
Yeah.
Which is...
So as an entrepreneur, when do you find time to say, we can't be scrolling right now, we can't be researching, I can't be editing right now? How do you divide your week up to give yourself space?
It's so bad.
Especially because you have a boyfriend too.
Yeah. Yeah. He is probably at his wit's end with me. Like, I have a really difficult time shutting off these days because I always feel like I need to be replying to people, and I'm like, if I have a free moment, there's a nice DM I could reply to help someone or whatever. So
always, and they're gonna reply to that, so it'll just be a circular
vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So I have a really hard time of shutting down. Something I am doing is like, I'll post the video and then not look at it for a couple days. Like, I'll look at it immediately to make sure there's no problems. Like, typically if I forget to change the title of like the upload on YouTube,
or there's like one caption that's off and you're like, ah.
Yeah. And so I'll look right away, but then for my own peace of mind, I'm like, I can't recircle that. I'm done. Mm-hmm. But even like last night at Top Gun, like, I made my boyfriend, because he had already seen it, I'm like, can you go check and see if there's more wine? Like, see if it's open still. Mm-hmm. And as he's gone, I'm like, just scrolling the comments real fast.
You're self-aware.
Yeah. I need to be better. That's one thing. And like, it's so annoying for me because as an OT, I did work in mental health as well. I worked in like a locked psychiatric facility and a transitional housing unit. And so I have all these positive coping strategies, but goddamn, is it hard to take your own advice?
Well, also because this is like real chemistry in your brain. This is real fucking dopamine hits that also equate
so
to
addictive.
Money.
Yeah.
Like, you doing certain things is helping you be, so it's very hard when you have almost too much control of your life.
Yeah. It would be easier if I like maybe would have from the start handed things off. Like, mm-hmm. I got approached by a couple of podcast people and they're like, we'll take on your editing, we'll do this and that. I'm like,
No.
I can't.
Because you were also still figuring out who you are.
Yeah.
So how are they going to know?
Exactly. And I just think it's, again, that peace of mind of like, it's still up to me. And yes. It's my business. It's my persona. It's my idea. It's me.
Deep down, did you think there was a chance it was going to blow up?
No. No. I mean, to an extent, I believed in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it at all. But I think the hardest part was, and the reason why it did take so long, I like was scrolling through text messages between me and my friend. I spent months trying to convince someone to do it with me because I didn't think I could do it on my own. I was so scared to just do it on my own. So I spent months, let's do a podcast. I got a podcast idea. Would you do a podcast with me?
And the universe was like showing you how hard it was to find someone, being like, this is not going to work. And then you found someone, the universe was like, I told you, it's not going to work.
literally. Yeah. And it's so crazy how it worked out because that was my biggest holdup. So then when I finally did convince my friend, she was like, you know, I think our friends and family are going to be the only ones that listen. And I'm, you know, I don't really want to, like, I'm too PG for you. And I think that was like,
respect
quitting.
A PG queen.
Yeah. And so I just kind of was like, well, at this point is my baby.
Yeah.
And I know how to edit. So.
And also you love control. So like, you probably prevented some creative like.
Yeah.
Things that you wouldn't want to deal with.
Exactly.
Is it? Do you think TikTok was a big reason for it blowing up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think the sole reason.
Because I was recently talking to like a family friend who's just like in business. And he's like, I want to start a podcast. And he's a full-time job. And people sometimes think that they just like put it out in the ether and people are going to hear it. And I'm like, no. No one will hear it. And I'm like, you have to post 2-3 TikToks a day.
Yeah.
I also said, you have to start YouTube. And he was like, oh, I can't do this. So almost it is
a full-time job. Like, I quit OT.
You had to.
I had to. Like, I couldn't keep doing both. I was killing myself. You just can't do it. It's a full-time job posting. I have a friend who posts 14 TikToks and Reels a day. 14.
And are they killing it?
Killing it. But like, like his personal YouTube is. So his personal YouTube hit 1 million.
Okay.
Which is huge. That is massive.
Yes.
But his podcast YouTube is only at 5,000.
Yeah.
it doesn't translate like you
not
think
always.
It will.
Well, it is like marketing, where you can put so much effort into the marketing and it'll go a certain way, but if the product isn't good, it's not gonna have longevity.
Yeah.
Okay, you're killing it. I'm obsessed with you. You're very comfortable in hell. And I also feel like you have great like therapist vibes, but I feel like you've really put it into a modern aesthetic.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that meant either, but
it sounds good.
If you say aesthetic at the end of anything, it sounds cool. We're going to end with a final game.
Okay.
Called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
Money.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't have any.
Yeah.
This is like, I have only shared this with my agent, my podcast agent, but I was unemployed from OT. Mm-hmm. No money coming in. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I was on food stamps before the podcast started making money. Like last 2021, I had a fucking California EBT card. Shopping at Trader Joe's. And then having to whip out my credit card to pay for flowers because the EBT didn't cover it.
So you were not getting the Hailey Bieber $17 glow up smoothie?
No. No, I was eating a lot of frozen food.
Were you scared?
Terrified. There were plans where I was like gonna have to move in with my boyfriend and like not pay rent and live with him and his two roommates and like a little house and potentially move back to Minnesota and live at home again until I could make money. So I was terrified. And like the first month the podcast even started making money on YouTube, which it took 3 months of even being on YouTube. The first month I made $526.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not a lot. Like people mm-hmm. see these big followings on YouTube and they're like, you must be making so much money.
And TikTok, you're blowing up, but they didn't have the creator fund.
I'm not
in
it.
Beginning.
I joined for a couple weeks and I made $6 after having viral videos. And then I felt stunted. Like I wasn't getting new followers. They weren't going that far. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm stepping on my own foot here or whatever.
Is it sometimes scary to feel like the algorithm can guide your money?
Yeah, I'm at like every algorithm's mercy.
Literally my husband
so
the other day, because I had like a week on TikTok. Actually, my TikTok got, this is such TikTok nerdy convo, but my TikTok randomly got banned once, and I messaged someone and I was like, I don't know what happened. They go, there was a bug, but because it got banned, I feel like it like took out a lot of the like data behind mm-hmm. my account, and it almost was like I was starting from scratch. And I was like, easily every time I posted a video it would get minimum like 150k, and the next thing I was like 20k, and I was like,
what happened?
And my husband was like, are you sad because your TikTok algorithm's not good this week? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. But like,
it's so disheartening.
I'm
though
currently working on with my therapist on not having my happiness rely on external things, which is very difficult. Who are you envious of?
Probably my friends. And this is interesting. It's gotten better, but like there's been a lot on the back end of the podcast that like everyone's kind of been struggling to feel appreciated in their own way.
Mm.
And so a lot of my friends that came on, especially when it wasn't making any money, did it out of the kindness of their heart. Mm. I have amazing friends. I really do. But then we got to a point where it's like, well, now you are making money. I don't feel appreciated. And so we're still kind of trying to find our footings and how do we navigate this thing? Because no one anticipated this. I'm not a creator. I wasn't a manager. I'm not a business owner. I am now, but wasn't. And so it's just been this crazy back and forth. And so I kind of watched myself over, you know, the course of the show's success blowing up. And they got to come on and like have fun drinking and shooting the shit with me and putting in, you know, that was work for them still, mm-hmm. but they also didn't say no to things. They went out on the weekends. They developed, you know, closer relationships. And so I felt like for a while I was kind of the outsider looking in on my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's getting better now. And we're like, I'm trying to have them edit and we're pushing boundaries and things like that to try to make sure everyone's happy with the dynamic.
Working with friends in general is hard, but also
so hard.
I love talking. You're almost like, you're freshly in the public eye.
So weird.
It is so fucking traumatizing in a way where, let's say, like once a month someone would hit me up for coffee.
Yeah.
I got on TV. 5 people a week would be hitting me up for coffee.
Oh my God.
And then you're like, the old hand always says yes. You know, like, I want everyone to like me. And then you realize, oh, you've no time for yourself. Mm-hmm. Then there's the friends who start to act different with you than the friends who are like, you're using me, or you think I'm using you. Like, that becomes a thing. And that's just more money, more problems.
Literally.
Biggie Smalls. He knows what he's talking about.
He did, yeah.
Okay, what are you gluttonous about? What do you overindulge in? Besides Reddit.
Reddit? I mean, social media in general. I got to get better about shutting it down.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, stress shopping?
Oh, I love a stress shop.
But I return it. So I don't keep it, because I have a weird relationship with money now, because I have it and I don't spend it. Like, people ask me for $50 and I like get upset about it.
Yep.
It's so weird.
Oh no, I'm the same way with money, where I've only been making money for about 2 years, and I don't know. I'm a control freak too, so I want to spend it, but I literally don't know how to spend it. I only know how to be tight about it. I just had Annie Letterman on the pod, and she gave me, this is a little woo-woo LA advice, but I think it's worth saying.
I need it.
She's like, there's energy around money, like the money manifestation and the idea of abundance, where like, if you hold your money tight, it's gonna want to leave you. But if you have money just passing through in and out, it flows with a very positive energy. And they say, like, the more you spend, the more you make, which is also just what you could tell yourself after a binge on, you know, Zara.
This is, and I don't know if anyone like listening believes in this shit, but I'm like, this is coming together for me right now. So when you ask me like the gluttonous thing, I'm like, I honestly, besides like the stress shopping, but I return, I don't really have anything except maybe donuts, but literally.
To fried Oreos.
Yeah. But I went to this like event recently, and they had an aura photographer, and I got my aura picture taken, and he literally told me, he goes, you need to spend money. He goes, take your budget and blow it. Spend the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
okay,
what the fuck are you sabotaging me for, bitch? Like, he's what right. What are you doing?
My life has actually changed recently, because in the last 2 months, I hired a stylist. Which is the most
Did she do this?
She did this.
This is good.
Front of her beard.
Your bodysuit yesterday?
Not me. So I don't like doing good things for myself, because it's like, why do you deserve it? It's always like, why would you get this? Mm-hmm. I want to work. So people started viewing me differently when I was wearing nicer clothes. And then I started getting opportunities just because I was, and I'm like the least materialistic person ever. This is a fake Prada. And but it's like even Annie Letterman came in with Louis Vuitton bag, like the newest one. And in my head, I'm like, why the fuck did you need to buy that? And then she's walking around and people are like treating her differently. And I'm not saying you like should buy designer and stuff. I'm more saying it's how you're treating yourself that then people start treating you. Even like your space. I always used to live in a shitty apartment. And recently I'm like, I'm going to hire an interior designer. And then I think you then start thinking like, holy fuck, I'm successful.
Yeah.
But if you treat yourself like a not successful, hated bitch, people start treating you like that.
I know. Well, it's crazy what manifestation can do too. Like, just manifesting that. And like, I don't care, I go on DHgate all the time. The only nylon Prada bag I'm gonna buy is from DHgate.
I'm not buying a nylon bag for $1,500. That's called just science.
No, the one like actual designer purse I have, like I have a bunch of Coach stuff because my mom used to work there.
Honestly, Coach, underrated, fire right now. Literal fire.
I love it. So I love it. So I bought my first like Gucci purse, but I got it half off at the Rack. Mm-hmm. I got a $2,400 purse for $1,200, which is still insane money. Like, I realize that. That's insane. But it's the first thing, like, since having money I've, like, ever bought for myself. I'm like, this feels good.
I just think of, like, those horrible stories of, like, really famous people or famous athletes who they're like, and then 10 years later, they were bankrupt. And I'm like, that's going to be me because I bought one bag.
I think that way, though. It's hard because I'm like, what if the podcast, like, what if I got canceled tomorrow?
I don't know if it's because I'm from Brooklyn, but like, I love consignment.
Love thrifting.
But yeah, even like, yeah, you could get hit by a car tomorrow, knock on wood.
Yeah.
You can't live like
no.
that. When was the last time you experienced extreme anger? Do you have an angry side to you, or are you always Minnesota nice?
No, I blow up.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I think I, well, I...
Let it out.
I bottle. I don't like to address things in the moment.
Same.
So I really bottle things up sometimes. The biggest blowout I think I've had in recent times is like, my dad was dating this woman And she didn't want to be with my dad. She wanted my dad to be like the platonic bestie. Mm-mm. And so she had like a 16-year-old son. And my dad is not my dad. He like adopted me because he was dating my mom. And it's a messy story.
Okay.
It's so messy.
Yeah.
But he's my adoptive dad, but my dad. And so this woman was dating him, like, but not dating him, like totally cuckolding him. And she asked him after less than a year of knowing him, will you adopt my son? He needs a strong male role model. And my dad told me he was thinking about it. And I go, what the fuck does that do to our relationship? Like, you don't even know this kid. Mm-hmm. And so I chucked a piece of watermelon at him. Yeah, that
was... You love a fruit flying queen.
It was not my finest moment.
Was it the whole watermelon or a slice?
It was the babiest slice, but I also didn't talk to him for like 4 days after. I was so pissed.
But also that makes sense because of your own experience with adoption.
Exactly.
It really affects...
It just felt like it invalidated it. I'm like, you're going to pick up any kid off the street? Which, if they need it, like, yeah, you're a good guy, but like, this kid doesn't need it. He's just 16 and smoking too much weed and his mom's a psychopath.
You know what? She speaks the truth. When was the last time you let your ego get in the way of something? How's your ego doing?
As weird as it is to say, I feel like I don't have one that much.
That's good.
I wouldn't say it's so much ego, but I had someone that like basically was like put in my lap. I had multiple people like asking me to like, you should have him on an episode. You should have him on an episode. And I... like was like, okay, yeah, it would be a great fit. He'd be funny, whatever. And the team reached out and they were like, well, we'd love to have him on, but we need the episode like a certain day in advance so we could make our own edits. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. So maybe that is like a form of ego coming out. But I'm like, I've never done that for anyone. And I was like, you can have PR sit in the room.
No, that's basically them being like, we know what's better for your episode. And if
it was weird.
And that can actually hinder the quality of your content.
Yeah.
Because of like his needs when it's like he needs you right now.
Yeah. And it was just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I make so many accommodations for my guests that come on. Like, you can have whoever in the room.
I want
have...
two apple juices tomorrow.
I will get them. Don't tempt me.
But I'll give you my rider.
I literally say to people, I'm like, if you say something in the moment, stop yourself, back it up, start over, I'll edit it out. Or if you realize after a couple of days later, like, I don't edit. I edit Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. My episodes come out Thursdays. Like, I'm a procrastinator.
I need the pressure.
Yeah.
Paige and I record on Monday and it comes out Monday night.
Yeah. I've done that turnaround too where you record Wednesday.
It's the best time.
You just get through it so fast. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, that's not my style. You can fix in the moment, but sorry, not making that accommodation, buddy.
It is nice to feel like you have a little bit of power to say no to things.
Yeah.
Who is your celebrity crush?
I don't have like... someone just showed me this one man. And I don't know. I don't even know his name. But I'm excited to find out more. Because it's the first person I've like been like, wait, he's hot. Like, I don't really have crushes. I love Nicolas Cage, but in a weird, like, I want him to be my uncle way.
Yeah.
But this man, I was like, this is the first man I've like done a double take on. Hassan Piker.
Let me see.
I gotta pull it up on Google now. So hot. Like, so hot. Also, like, I saw Top Gun last night. Miles Teller really started doing it for me. I'm like,
oh my God.
Turned to my boyfriend. I'm like, we should try a mustache.
Oh, no. Is everyone gonna have a mustache?
Everyone is coming back, baby. It's coming back.
God. But guys and their mustaches, it's like they get so fucking proud of it. And it's like you didn't do anything but be lazy on your upper lip. You know?
Yeah. But it also takes some effort to curate just that top lip. It's
don't give
precision.
Them credit.
It's
don't
precision.
Give them credit. Don't make their heads big.
I don't know what he does.
Oh.
He's like, I guess, in movies, but also an activist. I keep hearing about him in like political context. So I'm like, I try to be very woke on the politics, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. though I don't talk about them ever. But I was like, ooh, I need to do some research. So this might be a new one.
Final question.
Yes. We're like getting rushed.
Final question. What do you do to cope with your hell? When you're going through it and it's dark, what would you tell the listeners, our little devils, some coping mechanisms?
Get out of your space. Whatever your space is that you're in that's like overwhelming you, frustrating you, blocking you, leave it.
Like if I'm on the couch with my cat, I have to get up.
Get your ass up.
You know how hard it is to move the cat?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to move the cat. Take it for a walk. Get one of those little buggies, strollers. Put your cat in it. Get the fuck out of your head. Get out of the house. Get out of your head. Just changing your space. Something so simple. Like, it's almost like the reframing you talked about where it's like, look at it in a different perspective. You got to start moving. Got to move.
I love the simplicity of that. And this is coming from a very smart human being.
Yeah.
Morgan, you are so fucking amazing. Oh, and I'm so excited to see all the things you're going to do because you've just like started on your like path of alignment.
I'm just a little baby right now.
You're the baby podcaster. Oh my God, I'm going to have you on in like 3 years and I'm going to have to like go through like 10 PR people to get you. But where can people listen to you, follow you, give me all the deets?
Okay, so the podcast, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Two Hot Takes, mm-hmm. TWO, Hot Takes. And then my personal, you just search Morgan Abshire and it pops up.
I'm obsessed. Thank you guys for coming to hell. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.